It's Monday, the 19th of February, and we are going to be joined on the line by Bishop Abel Gabuza, who is the head and the head of the Justice and Peace Commission for the Southern African Catholic Bishops Conference. And we're going to try and unpack some of the recent developments that have been happening in the country. Bishop, good afternoon and welcome to the show.
Good afternoon and welcome to Kimberley.
How is Kimberley this afternoon, Bob?
No, Kimberley is fine. We have the military here that is playing, so there's a lot of noise in the air and on the ground. You know?
Wow. Is there a sense of excitement? Is there a sense of jubilation?
Well, excitement, because these are heavy machines that we see flying, you know, in the sky.
Wow. Well, Bishop, when we spoke to you last week, we spoke to you at a time when there was a lot of uncertainty. We spoke to you at a time when there was a lot of anxiety. And we spoke to you at a time when we did not know what was going to happen in the next 24 to 48 hours. So here we are. Here we are now. It's 7 days later. A lot has happened. Your response to all the things that have been happening politically in the country.
I think myself that a dark cloud that was hanging over us has been lifted. And the fact that, you know, Mr. Zuma was able to come to his senses and offer his resignation, that for me was something that we need to sort of celebrate, in the sense that we're not celebrating that he has been, you know, humiliated. We're celebrating that he was able to come to his senses and realize that the country is bigger than, you know, him, and therefore he did the right thing. And we are not saying, as in some cases, that, you know, he was, you know, the most sort of evil person, you know, as some newspapers have indicated. We simply say ourselves that, you know, he was not. And as all of us are, he was not a perfect person. There were a number of mistakes that, you know, he made, and therefore our country was in darkness, and therefore we are very happy that, you know, he has been able to resign. And also I was impressed when he said that he's resigning. However, people should not be able to do things, you know, in his name, in terms of, you know, creating chaos, promoting violence, and breaking up his organization. For me, that was very, very important for him to do that. And also to make sure that people do not do terrible things in his name. For me, that was wonderful.
Now, his resignation came at the 11th hour, and he had sort of been pushed at a corner. So if he had not done so, in the next six to five hours, he would have been out. Now, people have commented on the state of the organs of state and our structures and the arms that we have in our country. Your comments on that?
Well, you know, the man, I'm certain, was in a corner. He was in a tight corner. And it so happened that as he was presenting his statement, somehow, some way, you know, the security forces, or in terms of the hawks, were ready to pounce on people who are connected with him. I'm not sure whether this is pure coincidence, but however, you know, one can say that, you know, perhaps these are the things that were meant to happen even before he resigned. So, you know, for many of us, it was, we were just held in suspension, because it was at the very last moment, you know, within, you know, the hour before he was going to be sort of brought to Parliament in terms of, you know, a vote of confidence. Being sort of discussed and implemented. So we were just held in suspension until the very last moment. And but, you know, we're very happy that, you know, at least things went well.
Now, there's been this sudden reawakening that has happened in the country where some institutions which were supposed to be performing were not performing, such as the Hawks, such as the SIU. They've all of a sudden started performing. What could be the driving factor around that? Because remember, they've not been doing it. Now, all of a sudden, they've decided they're now going to prosecute AJ Gupta. They're now going to investigate people like Msebenzi Zwane. They are now going to be asking Duduzane Zuma to provide reasons why he can't be prosecuted when it was the same that had the same organizations and state of organs that had actually dropped the charges. Why now? What does that tell us?
As I say myself, the explanation they gave is, was that, you know, it was just a pure coincidence. I just read somewhere that, you know, the spokesperson for the Hawks was saying, in fact, they had prepared to pounce on these individuals long before Mr. Zuma presented his resignation. And they were saying it was a pure coincidence that, you know, as soon as he resigned, everything came alive in terms of, as you have mentioned, you know, the Hawks coming alive and some other state agencies. I'm not sure how to explain this myself,
mm-hmm.
but all I know myself is sometimes when a new leader comes into office, you know, it's like, you know, he's having a broom, a mm-hmm. new broom, and he's sweeping.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps one should be able to say that, you know, Mr. Ramaphosa has always indicated that there should be action in terms of, you know, the state agencies working to make sure that, you know, people who are responsible for damages should be brought to book.
Mm-hmm.
So I take it that he was able to instruct, you know, as the president of the ANC. For me, I would say perhaps be the angle that we look at, that Mr. Ramaphosa was able to say he's in charge, therefore mm-hmm. there should be action taken.
Your reactions and your responses to the SONA?
Come again?
Your comments and your reactions to the State of the Nation address?
I was really impressed myself with the way, first of all, the general attitude of the parliamentarians.
Mm-hmm.
You will recall that in the last few years, whenever we had the SONA, there was a lot of drama, and we were able to see this as part of, you know, unfortunate events happening, you know, and violence and blood, you know, and so on, and confusion. So the parliament was reduced to some form of a circus.
Mm-hmm.
So now we saw sanity prevailing, people behaving, you know, as normal people, and the fact that Mr. Ramaphosa was able to present, I think, a statement, an address that for me captured all of us in terms of what he said.
Mm-hmm.
I'm aware that he made a number of promises,
mm-hmm.
and therefore, you know, one will be able to say, as a typical politician, he had to say the right things at the right time.
Mm.
Now, the great, you know, thing that we need to look at, and, you know, in the future, is to see how he's able to put action, you know, and as people say, to walk the talk.
Mm.
So we'll wait for that to see what's going to happen. But the address was so positive, you know, it was just moving. It was, I was really impressed, you know, he's a wonderful speaker, and I was impressed myself.
Such a breath of fresh air compared to what we had before, right?
Exactly. I mean, you know, you could see that this person deserves to be a statesperson. He is, and one was proud, and one still is proud that we have somebody who represents us as the first citizen,
mm-hmm.
and therefore, you know, he brings into the scene something that, you know, in the last few years we have not seen,
mm-hmm.
and therefore I think in the whole country, you know, you know, people should have this hope that, you know, at least we have somebody who's going to do things with us. And I like what you said, that all of us have got to do something, you know, for our country. It is high time that we do things for our country and not expect the country to do things for us.
There's been criticism, though, around him, saying that he was so quiet for all these years when he was under Zuma's shadow. So why should we believe him now?
Yes, I mean, that is a constructive criticism, that he was always quiet, and in the last few years as the deputy president, I think to myself that, you know, sometimes in life you have to assess the situation and be able to say what is the best way of keeping quiet. And when, you know, things are perhaps positive, then you emerge. But I think if he had done what he did in the last few days, you know, before he was elected as president, something could have happened. He could have been sort of put down in terms of being, you know, made to resign.
Yeah.
You know, anything could have been possible in terms of politics.
So you're saying this could have been his strategy then to get to where he is today.
Exactly. There could have been another way of, you know, eliminating him in terms of saying, okay, you know, we are not part of the regime and so on. This has happened, you know.
Okay.
So I think he was very wise to keep a low profile until he was, one, elected as the president of the ANC, and therefore he had so much power, you know, he could command things to happen because now he was in a powerful position. So I think myself that it's a strategy that he adopted.
Now, let's just, without getting into much detail, he's going to be reconstituting his cabinet. He has to come up with a deputy president. And now the question that I'm going to have for you and put you in the spot is, who would you elect as his deputy president, and which ministers would you drop if you were Cyril Ramaphosa?
That's a very difficult one, because I would not know myself. I can only say that many people have been saying those ministers who have not been performing well and those ministers who are linked to the Gupta family.
Like Boban.
is that minister of mineral,
Msebenzi Zwane.
And also the lady who was not performing well in terms of
the social grants.
Social grants.
But have
you? And the Minister of, is it Public Enterprises?
Yes.
Those three, I think they have been singled out. That
okay.
They should be.
All right.
But I also am quite aware that, you know, whatever he is going to do, it should not be seen as a sort of purging, and, you know, and, you know, saying those people who are linked to Mr. Zuma should be, you know, left in the cold. I think, you know, he has to be very, very careful.
But is that not what we need, Bishop, that purging? Because we want to cleanse the system. We cannot say, yeah, we should not be seen to be purging, but at the same time keeping the rotten potatoes in the system. Because the country has actually come to this point because of those rotten potatoes.
Yeah, the point is, you know, in the final analysis, you have to be very careful, you know, to keep a very, you know, a balance. I think myself, because we were very, you know, he's in a delicate position and the country is in a delicate position. And therefore he needs to, while I see that these ministers will have to be sort of left in the cold, told to resign and so on and replaced, it should be seen, I hope there will be a better explanation.
Okay.
I just feel that, you know, I will understand and so many people will understand if he's able to say they should resign. But not everybody on the ground is going to understand, especially people who who come from a particular province.
Mm.
You know, it might you know, ignite certain feelings, you know.
Bishop, thank you very much for chatting to us this afternoon. It's always a pleasure having your perspective and your views. That was Bishop Abel Gabuza, who's the head of the Justice and Peace Commission at the SACBC in Pretoria. And if you've just tuned in, it is Radio Veritas 576 AM. Please do not touch that dial.